It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Fox Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Will Brinson, he is over there at the CBSSports.com. He's got his podcast that is 15 times a day. You can go check that out. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Mr. Brinson. Thank you so much for joining us. Hello.
15 times a day.
There you are.
There you are.
How many times a day is the podcast?
What? Oh, sorry. I'm being assaulted by my son here. Good job, buddy.
It's happened to me here.
Hey, Daddy has to go talk to Boston. Say, hi, Boston.
Hi, Boston.
Okay.
Okay, well, thank you.
All right. Get out of here, please.
Oh,
thank you.
Your
oh, that's awesome. All right, I'll be back in 5 minutes.
We're only getting five minutes.
Wait a minute. You got to go somewhere?
I'll be back in 22 minutes, pal.
That's right. That's more like it. All right. So
Honey,
how much are you? Go ahead.
Hold on a second.
It was very reminiscent of what's happening in my home.
I was seeing a picture of my son's spit bubble that he made while he was out on a walk. That's disgusting. Thank you.
Yes.
Jesus
well,
Christ. This has got to end.
No, it's got to end. Things have gotten pretty weird here. All right.
I'm sorry about that. I mean, it's
happened. Will, I've had kids on the air every day. My kids have come up here every day to go on the air. All right. So how much do you buy that there were these technical problems with the draft, the mock draft?
I totally buy it in the sense that, like, have you been on any conference call with any, like on any work event with any number of people? There's always somebody who doesn't hit mute and has your kid yelling about spit bubbles in the background. So yes, I totally believe that there were problems, but I also think that, you know, you get on there, everybody's sort of wandering around. They know it's not the real thing. You know, they got their fan, you know, I mean, you know, I'm sure like, you know, Tom Telesco has like four kids running around his living room because he can't be like, "Honey, everybody needs to be quiet. This is the draft." She's like, "No, it's not. It's a mock draft. Are you kidding me? A mock draft, Tom? And we're all locked in this giant mansion with computer screens everywhere? A mock draft?" And you know, didn't hit mute. You know, distracted, and then they got everybody settled in. There's a 2.5 minute delay, and they got moving. But of course, these guys are already mad that they have to do this under these circumstances, so any little like inconvenience is clearly going to be, you know, blown up into a thing online.
Yeah. All right. So there's rumors of the Redskins trading out of two, and I guess Chase Young is considered a generational prospect. What is the importance of a pass rusher, and do you think teams would be willing to move up to the two spot to get him?
No. If someone comes up to two, it's for a quarterback.
Okay.
In my opinion, if the Redskins trade out of the number two position, somebody is coming up to get Tua or potentially Justin Herbert, which I think is a huge mistake, but it could happen. And they're going to do it before the Redskins are on the clock. I think the Redskins will certainly entertain offers while they're on the clock. They have 15 minutes, but I don't think that they're going to like start doing some hardcore negotiating with any potential suitors for that pick. Like after the Bengals pick Joe Burrow, like to me, if you're Washington, you're letting people know that, hey, look, it's, you know, it's Tuesday at 9 a.m. We got about, I don't know, that's, you know what, 36 hours until the draft starts. So if you want to make us an offer for number two, go ahead and make that call so we don't have to worry about it while we're on a three-way Zoom with Dan Snyder, Kyle Smith, and Ron Rivera.
Right. Chances this thing just goes off the rails on Thursday. I mean, Fred and I agree that whatever problems that they had with that mock draft were just probably blown up and exaggerated because they've been bitching about this thing the entire time. But, the entire production of having to have all these people together and the actual broadcast of it has got to be a nightmare. We saw how televised Horse went, and that was a cluster F. Chances this thing just goes off the rails on Thursday.
Yeah, what is off the rails? Are we going to be showing a video of like our top 10 draft prospect smoking weed out of a gas mask?
Which is still one of my favorite draft night moments. That was pretty fantastic.
It's incredible. I just don't I think this thing will be off the rails in one of a couple of ways. Either there's going to be some nightmarish technical stuff, or there are going to be some just insane movement and picks. I did my final mock today, and the reality of doing 42 mocks over the course—I think it's like five, but still, like the course of an offseason is like you get to the final one, and you just don't want to do anything like you don't want to trade a bunch of picks in the first round because it just takes more work. I just want to it's like 10 o'clock at night. I'm like, I'm gonna get to sleep. Like, you go to this place, you go to this place. And it was something vanilla. I think there's a chance it could be a little bit crazier. I just don't think anybody knows because of the way that these trades will work and how GMs and coaches are going to value picks this year versus next year. Because I think typically speaking, you see people use a pick for next year to buy more picks this year, right? I mean, that's just standard operating procedure. I don't know that it'll work quite like that. I think these people are going to see next year's picks as substantially more valuable than this year's picks because, in theory, next year will be a quote-unquote normal offseason.
Okay. Do you think that there's any teams that would be afraid of making a trade with the Patriots involving a pick from next year because they have not yet been punished for the videotaping scandal?
No. But I don't know exactly how that would work, but I think if the Patriots trade a pick from next year to somebody else, I don't think that team would lose the pick, right?
I don't know. This is weird that they haven't given the punishment yet. I mean, there's no way that they would take away a pick from this year. It seems like we're a little too late for that. But I mean,
yeah.
So it would have to be for next year. And
yeah, but all right, let's say hypothetically that the Patriots, or let's assume they're not going to take away the Patriots' first round pick. So we're talking about something else, right?
Okay.
Let's say the NFL is like thinking about taking away the Patriots' second round pick for the Bengals thing. Which, I mean, really, you couldn't have done that 6 months ago. Like,
yeah.
But let's say they think about doing it, and the Patriots trade next year's second-round pick to somebody else. I would assume that the NFL would then adjust the punishment and take away, like, the third-round pick and a fifth-round pick. Or so, you know what I mean? Like they're not going to be like, sorry, Bengals, you traded for the wrong pick. you're actually being punished for the Patriots videotaping you. Although that would be perfectly Belichick, you know.
Right, it was the plan the entire time.
It changes the Bengals, and then the NFL takes, I'm sorry, Mr. Brown. We're going to need that pick from you.
But that whole situation's weird, and you're right. I mean, I don't know why they – how many more people do they have to interview? What more do they have to break down? It just seems at this point it's very strange with the draft right around the corner, and they still haven't figured out what the hell their punishment's going to be. It's very odd.
I would chalk it up to, like – I'm trying to think of an example. So, like, I got some trees around – like, little – smaller trees around the back of my house that need to be trimmed. And I got a big, like a little long pole thing. I can go back there and cut them. It's not that big of a deal, but it's just sort of fallen along the wayside in terms of things I need to do over the last like month. And so they're growing and they're a little longer hanging, more than they should be. My wife doesn't really, nobody's saying anything. Nobody cares. I don't really care. It's just, like, I think that's what the videotaping thing is for the NFL right now. They're so far over their skis on everything else that they're dealing with right now that, like, if you ask Roger Goodell, what's the deal with the Patriots thing? He'd be like, what Patriots? What are you talking about, man? Like, I don't think it's like on near the top of his to-do list.
Now, do you buy into the rumors that the Patriots are going to look for a quarterback in the first round?
Yeah, I could. I mean, I buy that they will at the very least window shop. I don't know that they're like sprinting onto Fifth Avenue with handfuls of cash, like just buying the first thing that falls in their lap. But like on our podcast, RJ White, one of our editors, our draft editor at CBSSports.com, broke down this great, and he wrote about it for CBS too. This, like, the idea that the Patriots could, you know, trade to 10 with the Browns using Joe Tooney as trade bait to get from 23 to 10, which is not, that's a pretty fair trade. If you're Cleveland, you want to upgrade your offensive line. And then you go from 10 to 3 using something very cheap to, like, lure Matt Patricia into coming down to 10. And then all of a sudden you just trade 2 at 3. Like, if that happens, if they're like, like Roger Goodell's like on Zoom, he's like, there's been a trade announced, and it's like, and then a Patriots logo shows up at 3. It would be utter and delightful chaos. I don't think it actually happened. I like to dream that it would. I do think that if Tua slides, which is the buzz, you know, the heavy buzz around league circles at leading up to the draft, which, take it for what it's worth. I mean, it's Lion season and, you know, and smokescreen season and all that. But, like, if Tua slides, I mean, there's nobody who's going to know what his situation is better than Belichick, at least as it, with regards to, you know, his connection to Nick Saban. So, I mean, you at least have to think that that would be a possibility. Jordan Love, maybe, too. You know, I know that they've been rumored to love Justin Herbert. Now Herbert, people think Herbert's going to be, could be, you know, the second quarterback taken off the board. So, I mean, it's all very, very fluid, and nothing would surprise me. I will say this. I think that you look at a team like the Patriots and you know, even maybe the Steelers with the, you know, they've been linked to Jameis Winston as a backup. They changed the compensatory pick formula date in this new CBA. It's now April 27th, so it's Sunday. So as soon as the draft is over, basically, the following Monday, the Patriots could sign Cam Newton, Jameis Winston, or if he's a free agent, Andy Dalton, and it won't count against their comp pick formula. I think that almost certainly played a factor into how Bill Belichick is approaching the quarterback position with this draft, meaning, like, he knows that they can potentially take one in the first round, but they don't have to overreach for it. And if they don't have one they like, or the first or second round, whatever it is, they can just go get Jameis or Cam and, you know, or maybe even Andy Dalton in free agency without it hurting their comp picks.
Well, I'll tell you this, is the PR in Detroit, if Patricia dealt the pick to the Patriots, would be just out of sight. I mean, I got to tell you, is that there's no image of him and the general manager being idiots that are just copying the Patriots. But
it's a three-way deal. The Patriots get the number 3 pick and Deshaun Watson. Bill O'Brien and the Texans get James White, and the Lions and Matt Patricia get one free Zoom chat with the McCourty brothers.
That's right. Exactly. Nothing as valuable as the McCourty brothers in their 30s.
I love the McCourty brothers.
Everyone loves the McCourty brothers. What's not to love? They're twins.
They were on my podcast in the Super Bowl. They were hilarious.
There you go. Will Brinson is a senior NFL writer for CBSSports.com. He hosts the Daily Pick 6 podcast, and we appreciate the time, sir.
Always fun, guys. Look forward to the draft. Talk to you soon.
All right, talk to you soon. All right, Rich, coming up, we're going to share one of our great memories from the show. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. By the way, the city of Tampa has come out and said that Brady was cited, SIGHTED, instead of cited with a C.
Oh, boy.
So the city of Tampa have come out and said that. I was wondering why he couldn't be in a park, but all right. All right, Rich. What we got? We're giving people so much entertainment during this difficult time. What do we got coming up here?
Well, you know, sometimes when you live in the city, you find that there are some famous people who are out and about. I guess that's all the setup this needs because we do the setup here. Let's go to the tape.
Oh,
Five, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. What era? We're on Comcast Sportsnet, New England. Or I'm sorry, Comcast Sportsnet. I apologize. That's the new brand.
Because we're worldwide. We're like
worldwide.
Pitbull. We're Mr. Worldwide.
CSN.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Tom Fertitta Studios. How? What era of Bieber is this?
This is his first hit. I think this is his first hit, right? This is the song that broke him, right? Baby, okay. Baby.
Is he still with Usher?
Well, yeah, I mean, he discovered him, Usher.
Usher?
I thought it was You Smile, I Smile, that one. Was that him?
No, this is the first hit, right?
This is the one
that broke him.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think you break with a ballad.
This is for the OGs. Yeah, that's the same thing as that when Hysteria came out, Def Leppard led with Women, because you never led with the ballad. The ballad was always second.
Mm-hmm. Although they went four deep before they got to a ballad on Hysteria.
Yeah, what's a better example?
They went
every other metal album.
Sure. Every Rose Has Its Thorn was the second single off of Poison's Open Up and Say Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing But a Good Time was the one that kicked it off.
Yes.
Yes. So right. Justin Bieber, by the way, from what I'm hearing, you know, he did two nights at the TD Garden. I'm hearing reports that he had a meet and greet where people paid upwards of $1,000 to $2,000, and he canceled it. And from what I'm hearing, people didn't get their money back.
Oh.
I don't know if that's true, but I'm seeing a ton of people on Twitter saying they got screwed.
When a ton of people that you know on Twitter?
No. Someone tweeted us this morning, said it happened, and I checked, and there's a ton of people who are tweeting about it right now.
I was going to say, I didn't know.
I don't know a ton of people.
A large Bieber audience.
Although I did see a huge group of people outside the Four Seasons yesterday. On my way home from work, I was driving past it, and there was a massive group of people. And there's a video of him leaving in a black Escalade, I think it was, and just all these girls running down the street chasing him. Just waiting to see the Biebs.
Yeah, well, listen, we don't know how long he's going to be around.
That's right. So where we left you last, I went to the show on Tuesday night and ran into a Justin Bieber impersonator who had every tattoo that Justin Bieber has. He put it all over his body. He couldn't dance. He couldn't sing, except for the eye tattoo. He didn't have that.
And he was been going too far.
That's right. And he was wearing the Justin Bieber Bruins jersey.
I see what you have here. You've got a Bruins jersey on. And could you describe what it looks like?
It's a Bruins jersey with Bieber on the back.
Now, where did you get that?
I had it customized.
Now, why the number 6?
It's my favorite number.
Is 6 the number of times Zdeno Ochara would punch you in the balls if he saw you wearing that jersey?
Yeah, okay.
Is there anything you'd like to say to all of the Bruins players that would punch you in the balls if they saw you in a Justin Bieber Bruins jersey?
I just want to see you get a chip this year, you know what I mean?
Rusty what?
A chip.
Championship.
Oh, ship. Oh, I don't speak douche.
And so we went moving on down the line.
Marchand, by the way, would have loved that.
You know what?
Yes, he
would have said, dude, this guy's got all the same tattoos that Justin Bieber has. Take off your shirt, bro.
He would have loved it.
Yeah, it would have been his little toy for the evening. Show him off.
Yeah, I mean, he would have liked it because he likes the music of Justin Bieber. When you say he would have been his toy for the evening, that could be misconstrued into something completely else.
It could possibly be. So while I was there, there were indeed DJs from other radio stations.
Oh.
As a matter of fact, they were there. There was one guy who was interviewing all these different fans of Justin Bieber, and he was wearing like a cool white tank top, sleeveless, and he had the whole microphone flag with the radio station single on it. He had the hat slightly to the side.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Slightly askew. This is like the top 40 night DJ, every stereotype sitting right there. He's Captain Fresh. And so he's going up and talking to all of these girls saying, hey, what's the number one station for music and fun? And, you know, having them go, wah, 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 wah. And then it's like, what's number 7 on the countdown tonight? So this guy was doing this, and while he was doing it, I thought I would go up and
Say hello.
So the first thing you hear is this DJ interviewing Justin Bieber fans and getting them to do what they call drops in the radio business.
That's right. Let's hear a drop.
I have another record in my back pocket right now. I'm going to give those away to you right before we hit number 1. It's running around 7:20 tonight. Girls in front of the Garden. What is number 7 right now?
Chainsmokers, Don't Let Me Down! And I'm a DJ from another station, and I'm going to talk in even a more bigger DJ voice than you guys.
Oh, your idea of what a top 40 DJ sounds like sounds a lot like Wolfman Jack from 1955.
Yeah. There was a dude who worked in Dallas who said it exactly like that.
Really?
He sounded like he was on speed.
Yeah, because it sounds like David Lee Roth meets Wolfman Jack. Boasty, 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 baby!
So this guy just kind of pulls back. I just stick my head right in.
Good. That's how it should be. You know, if one station papers the outside, you paper over that, man. This is a war.
Chainsmokers, don't let me down!
And I'm a DJ from another station, and I'm going to talk in even a more bigger DJ voice to you guys. How's it going? You guys ready to get giggity, 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 yeah. Who loves the Biberoni Bobby the Boobity Blim Dot Doo right here on AM 93.3? You guys love the radio station that you let poop plays the number one hits the wax tracks and hits and skibbity it fly.
Oh, come on. This is wow. This is from the 50s. Have you just seen that Ron Howard movie with Harrison Ford? What was
American
that?
Graffiti.
American Graffiti?
Yeah.
Bounce, bounce, bounce. It's like Steven Tyler. Like, these, like, boy, you would have such a tough. We all would. But can you imagine Rich trying to pick up, like, a 23-year-old chick? Hey there, Miss and Miss. How would you like to do it? I don't know about you, but you got lips for kissing and an ass for squeezing. Oh, boy.
You guys,
I got the right key, baby, but you got the right keyhole.
You guys love the radio station that you let poop plays the number one hits the wax track. It hits and skip it. Enjoy the shiggity shiggity show, Bieberooey. Wow.
Thank you. Have a good one.
And the DJ just stood there and was like, what do I do now?
Well, you probably didn't feel very threatened. Considering.
I was considering following him around to every drop that he did. And just hijacking every single just one. Scott, Scott, and blah, blah, blah.
You can say, I'm Steven Tyler without my wig.
All right. What do we have then here?
I thought I'd try a different person to interview. I went across the street, and standing in front of the 7-Eleven over there were a group of people who didn't seem too thrilled with the Justin Bieber situation that was happening there.
Okay.
I thought I would interview.
Let's see.
People maybe not going to the concert about Justin Bieber.
Okay.
Can we use this for the radio?
Why not?
So what do you think about this Justin Bieber guy who's playing across the street?
Hell not.
But what are your favorite artists, just as a comparison of what your tastes are? What's your favorite artist?
Tupac, Biggie, you know, like that. People like that.
Well, they're calling Justin Bieber the new Tupac. What do you think about that?
Nah, that's bullshit, but that's two different, like...
Who's that, the Bieber?
They're comparing Bieber to Tupac, bro. I'm done.
Don't do that.
Do not do that, bro.
He's not a Tupac's thug. Bieber's not a Tupac's lady. I mean, okay, Bieber's down here, but Tupac is just way too up. I mean, way before his time.
He's
Tupac
not even no gangster rap.
Tupac
that's
Tupac might have more albums than Justin Bieber got. He's alive still.
Well, they're saying that Justin Bieber is the new savior of hip hop.
No. Hey, listen, it's always going to be Jay-Z.
The only people that listen to Bieber is like little nerdy kids, computer geeks and stuff.
And he's not gangster.
But he got a face tattoo. Did you see that?
Just because you got a face tattoo do not mean that you've been in the streets and you're gangster. You know what I'm saying? I've been to California and I sat and went to Hollywood. But when it comes down to it, I need my bodyguards. He started trouble with me. And I'm going to.
Who?
Whoa.
What?
No, he's talking about, I've been to California, and then I go to a club. He's talking about what Justin Bieber's life is like.
Oh, okay. I thought he was talking about himself, Captain Important there.
He's talking about what Justin Bieber's life is like.
Oh, okay.
And I'm running it back.
As opposed to Jay-Z, who just goes into these clubs completely alone.
Has no bodyguard whatsoever. No security.
Does.
And I'm running it back. Bieber's not gangster. Bieber's not gangster. Tupac was in the streets. He was in the streets, and he was still thugging.
Justin Bieber in an interview the other day compared himself to Biggie Smalls. If you could say anything to Justin Bieber, what would you say?
Oh, what I would say to Justin,
Bro, just chill out, bro. Just chill out, bro. Just chill, because it's not that serious. You can't, like...
To compare yourself to Biggie, it takes some guts.
They did not enjoy it very much.
Did not enjoy the Justin Bieber show.
All right, and we will leave you with the last time Justin Bieber was in town. Across the street, I heard a clamoring at the hotel. I did a little Polestar search, found out that Justin Bieber was in town, and there was hundreds of girls standing outside. So I worked my way through the back of the hotel and walked out the front door where they were all waiting to see Justin Bieber. And here's how things all went down.
Attention, everybody. I'm with Justin Bieber's company. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I need you. Before he comes out. We need your cooperation. Before he comes out, I want to ask you three questions, and I want to hear you answer loudly, okay? Who here loves Justin Bieber? Who here is his biggest fan? Thinks that he has yet to go through puberty.
Time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5 Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. The Stack is sponsored by Window Nation. It's Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Go to windownation.com. Rich, what do we got?
I need to know if we have any eyewitnesses to this. Apparently, and according to pictures I have been sent, there's a naked dude running all around Beverly yesterday. So Beverly police officers, by the way, if you saw any of this, 617-779-0985. So police officers got a call responding to a report of a man with a gun. And when they showed up, they found a naked man who was being irrational, according to reports. He had jumped on the hood of a woman's car, freaked her out, and then a bystander drew a gun on the naked man in an attempt to stop the dude and whatever he was doing. So the guy took off. They said that it was sprinting. And the pictures that I've seen are him, like, dodging cars completely naked. But then again, much like a PG movie, if you didn't see any of the goods, the guy, it's not that he was fat, it's just that his leg was in the way. And I don't know, maybe it was just all the body hair that was covering it up. It was like his own personal merkin. But he was running around, and apparently he flung himself onto a windshield of one of the responding police cruisers. And then the police came out and used a stun gun and shocked the guy until he ended up being shocked to submission. And then they ended up bringing him in and arresting him, butt naked.
Was it Michigan police that had to tell people to put on clothes before they got the mail? I think it was in Michigan. That they had to tell people to put on clothes because, unlike here in Michigan, you have a mailbox that you can, you know, that you can mail letters from and so forth, and it's at the end of your driveway. So apparently, a lot of people were going out naked and just getting the mail because, you know, all sense of propriety is gone.
Well, a friend of mine swears to me he was on a like Zoom thing with his school. Like it was like the parents for this one school, and they're meeting with the principal, I guess, about what the curriculum was. And a friend of mine swears to me that one of the people who I guess had never used Zoom before, he's assuming because the beginning of the Zoom session looked like something from, you know, Requiem for a Dream, one of those movies where they're walking with the computer and everything's moving in the background, but the head is in the center. So they didn't realize that everyone could see them like moving around their house as they were walking. He swears to me that he saw this person go into the bathroom. And this person
that
was on
Saturday
Zoom.
Live.
I know, but that is something that happened before Saturday Night Live did it. Like, he said that he saw them go into the bathroom. Now, he didn't see them drop trowel, but he saw them sit down, and you could just see from the chest up, but it was very obviously the bathroom that they were – that they were obviously using the bathroom at the time.
That's got to be a very difficult thing not to figure out.
because I believe you can turn on the video, and sometimes when you're on Zoom, your screen is so small that you might not know that you're being videotaped. Because there's some people who can opt to not have the screen on, and you just hear their voice.
A rule of thumb would be don't go to the bathroom with your when you're on any kind of medium. That would be a good thing. Just, well, you know, if there's a chance there's
Twitter
a camera on me.
All the time.
Yeah, but there's a chance there's a camera on me. I'm not doing anything.
That is true.
I'm not going to the bathroom, certainly.
Well, there's a news clip that just went viral. This woman was doing a news report, like a lot of reporters are doing stuff from home. And she did it in her bedroom, but unfortunately, her door to the bathroom was open, and the mirror, you could see her husband naked in the shower the entire time. Bug ass naked during a nice news report.
Well, did he have anything to be complaining about? Or
it was kind of far in the background, but you knew he was
naked. Because if she's a newswoman, you would assume that she had a very handsome husband.
Everyone's hairy, Fred. Everyone's like too hairy. I'm sure if I was.
Well, what it's showing, Rich, is that people, unbeknownst to most of us, are going and getting waxed. And it shows in this time of not being able to socialize that, indeed, men are hairier than they are portrayed in media, mm-hmm. which I've always long asserted was true. But now there is evidence of it.
Yep. It's all over the place.
I mean, you know, there's this idea that, you know, as we grow older, that our bodies are not to have hair on them. And I say to that is no siree, Bob.
That's yes, 1970s phone.
Is that not you? Because there's no caller ID.
No, that's not me. I don't know
okay.
what that is.
I assumed it was you.
No. Okay. I would not call you during the show while I was talking. I don't think so. Maybe I'll do it just to kind of josh around.
I don't know. Who knows who it is? It can only be good news.
Well, if anyone saw that guy running around town, 617-779-0985.
I think the guy just called me. All
right, go. Within a line. Harry Magoo. Well, The Athletic, because nobody knows if the NBA season's over or not, they awarded their picks for the 2019-2020 season, the awards that most of them would be the ones eventually are going to be given out by the NBA at the end of the year. Really no surprise, Rookie of the Year was Ja Morant, but then they had Defensive Player of the Year. And, John, have you seen this yet? Do you know what the answers
are? I have not seen it.
Your pick for Defensive Player of the Year, this is who the writers of The Athletic chose, was 73% of the vote.
Is it Gobert?
Nope. No.
I say Gobert's Kawhi Leonard.
None of them in the top four.
Marcus Smart.
Marcus Smart is number four with 3% of the vote. Marcus Smart
Patrick
got a vote.
All right, Patrick Beverley.
Patrick Beverley not in the top four.
Interesting.
Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, just by not playing, he was the
defensive player.
Well known
for his defensive acumen.
Number four, Marcus Smart. Number three, Brooke Lopez of the Bucks. Number two, Anthony Davis of the Lakers.
Okay.
And at number one, Giannis Antetokounmpo with 73% of the vote. That's he was great. I'm with you. I wouldn't know if I'd make him number one. And then they have categories like who would you want with the ball up three late in the fourth quarter? The number one for that was LeBron James. Steph Curry was second. Damian Lillard was third. Steph Curry is an interesting one, seeing that he didn't play that much. Who do you want guarding the ball down three and late in the fourth quarter?
Kawhi Leonard, number one.
Fred, number one. Kawhi Leonard with 93% of the vote.
Finally.
And then it goes Patrick Beverley and LeBron James, both tied with 3%. Best passer in the league? That one's an easy one. This guy's excellent. Always has been.
John Stockton.
Yeah, John Stockton coming in fourth, just missing it, as a matter of fact. Steve Nash just got cut off, too.
He passes a lot.
LeBron James.
James Harden.
James Harden.
James Harden passing it to the rim.
Right. LeBron James, he's first with 46% of the vote. Then it goes Jokic, Chris Paul, sixth man of the year, Dennis Schroeder for the Thunder. And you continue to go down. Coach of the year, John. Who did the best job as the coach of the year? This is a good one.
They didn't cop out, right?
It's Toronto's coach.
They didn't say Budenholzer.
No, it's Toronto's coach.
Nick Nurse. Yeah, Nick Nerd. He's a dorky looking guy, but he Nick Nurse ended up having his franchise player leave the team, and they still killed this season.
Yes.
Yeah.
81% of the vote. What is shocking though is that you've got Billy Donovan in second with 9%, Eric Spoelstra with 6%, and Brad Stevens not getting any votes for Coach of the Year. And then it goes to best dunker. Everyone loves the dunks.
Oh, Derek I love dunks.
Derek Jones Jr. from the Heat.
Oh, I thought it would be Derek LaVine.
Zach LaVine is in third.
Zach LaVine.
Yes.
Zach LaVine. He's a great leaper out of UCLA.
MVP. Yes. Who is MVP, according to these guys of the league?
Giannis
with 97% of the vote. The only other person to get a vote was LeBron James. And then I thought this was interesting. Who will be next year's MVP?
Kawhi Leonard.
Nope.
No, Giannis.
There's three. Giannis is in second place. He got 24% of the vote. This is an interesting one because this guy's really young.
Oh, not the kid from the Pelicans.
No, not Zion Williamson. No.
Kevin Durant.
No, this guy's really young. Like this is he's only been in the league for a little bit.
Bobby Brady.
And he's already excellent. Bobby Brady? No, his brother Greg beat him out.
Okay.
Steph Curry is third. Giannis is second. And the person that they have voted who will win next year's MVP?
Morant?
Luka Doncic. Luka.
Oh.
Luka Doncic. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yep. He'll have that there. So there you go. The only Celtic to get any kind of votes, Marcus Smart, and he got it at the very bottom of the defensive category. So congratulations to the Celtics on that.
Well, maybe that's why Brad Stevens isn't in the running for Coach of the Year. There's not enough accolades on this team.
He's like Jeff Bridges or Billy Bob Thornton. They're just so good that they never get credit. You know, they're just there. They're always great. You know, so,
I'll tell you what, that Big Lebowski is not overrated at all. That's a Big really
Lebowski.
Good movie.
Big Lebowski, Fred, I used to be on board with you like when I first saw it, and I love the Coen brothers. I think Fargo's like one of the best movies ever made. But the Big Lebowski, when I first saw it, I was with you. I've seen it twice since then. I love it. Great movie.
He's just the dude, you know? The dude abides.
It's a great character. Jeff Bridges is probably the best living actor right now. I don't think there's a better actor than Jeff Bridges.
There's a point to be made there, yes.
So the United States, unfortunately, might be running out of beer because of COVID-19. Brewers and soft drink makers use carbon dioxide, CO2 for carbonation. Ethanol producers are a key provider of that, and they are stuck right now. Unfortunately, it's going to be a shortage coming, a lack of ethanol output is disrupting all of this food industry, and beer's not the only place. On top of that, there are a lot of craft beer makers, a lot of these smaller breweries that they say might not just go out of business for the time being, but permanently, and not be able to recover from this. So your beer might end up taking a hit after all this is done. We shall see. That's what happens if you drink too much beer.
You go right into a fart into the intercom. All right, we'll be back. We'll find out what Zolak and Bertrand have in store.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.